I'm only going to have a few words this morning, and I'm going to use a video, and I'll explain that in a few minutes. As we just said with the children, the scripture passage we have this morning talks about many gifts within the church. And as I visited almost all of you here, I can recall in our visits listening to you and the gifts that God has given you and the various ways you have used those gifts in your families, for this congregation, and for the wider work of the church. There are also gifts that different parts of the church give to each other. And here I'm speaking of different churches and even different denominations and different movements. One of the gifts that we as Mennonites have given to others, but also appreciate from others, is music. And that's why we've emphasized this summer the whole world of our hymns as being central to our faith. And we grow by many different traditions. We always have. The music that was sung in 1850 in the Mennonite churches in Russia was different than what was sung in 1800 and different than it was sung in 1900. And so the music of the church has never stayed static, has always changed and grown to reflect the cultures that it's in. And we continue to do that. I don't think the women did this deliberately, although they may tell me otherwise, but they have dipped into at least five traditions so far of Christian music. If you listen to the pieces, you think of when they were written and what tradition they were written, who wrote them, and what their settings were. The first hymn that we sang this morning and the hymn that we'll sing after the video and then a few comments afterwards are from a tradition called Iona. And it's a tradition that I have fallen in love with in many ways and hope that some of you will capture my love for that tradition. And it is a gift to the wider church. I'll just say a few things about it. The Iona community was founded in Glasgow and Iona in 1938 by George MacLeod, a minister, visionary, and prophetic witness for peace in the context of the poverty and despair of the Depression. From a dockland parish in Govan, Glasgow, he took unemployed skilled craftsmen and young trainee ministers to Iona to rebuild both the monastic quarters of the medieval abbey, which had fallen into disrepair, and the common life by working and living together, sharing skills and efforts as well as joys and achievement. And that task has become a sign of powerful rebuilding of community in Scotland and beyond. The experience shaped and continues to shape the practices and principles of Iona Christianity. Iona is a tiny and beautiful Hebridean island off the west coast of Scotland, one of the cradles of Christianity in Scotland, where in 563 AD, the Irish monk Columba established a monastic settlement that evangelized large parts of Scotland and the north of England, and became an important center of European Christianity. In the Middle Ages, it became the site of a Benedictine abbey, and over the centuries, it has attracted many thousands of people on their own pilgrim journeys. Iona remains a pilgrimage and tourism center. The daily services of the Iona community in the abbey church and worship elsewhere on the island are open to all. Many visitors have come again and again, and many from Winnipeg, by the way, and I know a number of people that have gone. There is a year-round population of about 100, long-established island families, as well as more recent arrivals, including those who work for the Iona community and its center as staff and volunteers. One of the cool things about it is that people came from different denominations, Salvation Army, Baptist, Anglican, Catholic, and as they became a community, they were urged to keep their connections to their original denomination while becoming part of this body. And I think it's a model of where we're going as churches, because we have more in common with each other as Christians than we do separately. And we can grow by our interaction with Anglican Christians, and they can grow from their interaction with us. And that's what this is a picture of. The abbey is now managed by Historic Scotland. The Iona community remains in residence and is a living, worshiping presence. The islanders of the Iona community in Historic Scotland worked together to maintain Iona as a place of welcome. Many Mennonites have, in recent years, come to love this slice of contemporary Christian music. Many Mennonite musicians, pastors, and lay people have gone to Iona. They would spend a week there, or 2 weeks, or a month. And while you're there, you need to work as part of the farm and part of the, or in the kitchen or somewhere like that. It's not just you're there as a tourist. And we have invited here to Winnipeg and to CMU John Bell, their most known musician, several times to teach short courses on contemporary Christian music. There are many types of contemporary Christian music, and I cringe when congregations think of one or two styles and label that contemporary Christian music, because it's always too narrow. There are many different kinds of contemporary Christian music. This video is a homemade family video, and so it has some of those dynamics of being quirky with camera and so on. But if you listen, there are six Iona songs embedded in it. The Iona style tends to be four-part harmony, and that's one of the reasons Mennonite musicians have fallen in love with it. Our first song we sang this morning was one of those, and the song we will sing after the sermon is another. But I invite us to watch this video at this time, and I guess I'll turn off these hot lights, right?
With joy and gladness, in the songs of gratitude, with the voice of praise discover, how to worship God is good. God unites his scattered people, gathers those who wandered far, heals the heart and broken spirits, tending every wound and scar. Sing to God with joy and gladness, hymns and songs of gratitude, with the voice of praise discover, that to worship God is good. Such is God's great power and wisdom, none can calculate or tell. Keen is God to drown the wicked, and with humble folk to dwell. Sing to God with joy and gladness, hymns and songs of gratitude. With the voice of praise discover, that to worship God is good. God's discernment never favors, strength or speed to lift or move. God delights in those who fear him, trusting in his steadfast love. Sing to God with joy and gladness, in the songs of gratitude. With the voice of praise to discover, that to worship God is good.
Now, the first thing to say about Celtic Christianity is that it probably didn't exist. Thank you very much. But by that I mean Celtic Christianity or spirituality didn't exist in the way that Benedictine, Ignatian, Protestant, Calvinist, Lutheran traditions exist. No one sat down at some point and formulated a way of doing it. And wrote books about it, and told you how to go on courses and do it. It was never like that. Neither Columba, nor Patrick, nor Bridget, nor any of the other people associated with this tradition sat down and said, Celtic spirituality, there's a niche for this, you know, we can publish books. No. What we are saying when we shorthand this is Celtic Christianity, you might as well call it English Christianity or spirituality, French, German. It's about a people discovering and expressing the Christian faith in a way that works for them. And that's really it. But nonetheless, there are aspects of this spirituality which resonate for us and which we find connecting with our own contemporary scene. So that's why it matters. But please don't go away thinking that there is some kind of formulated way of doing Celtic spirituality. There isn't. And actually we know very little about it as a structure, because very little was written at the time. But it was a way of approaching and understanding Christianity as a fresh expression, as a new expression, and in a particular context. That's why a bit of history is important, and that's why we can also make those connections later on. So that's the first thing to say, because we can get caught up in a kind of romantic picture of what Celtic spirituality might have been like. It's very easy to be on Iona on a day like today and look out and say, oh, isn't it lovely? It must have been so lovely here when Columba was here. And he could sit and write his books and look at the sea. Come back in January and tell me whether it's still a romantic notion, Celtic spirituality, when the wind is howling and the ferry doesn't run for 4 days and so on. So I think we need to kind of just step away from what is our own projecting back onto a time when we see it as being romantic and green and lovely and beautiful, whereas actually it was far more elemental and basic than that. But we'll come on to that a bit later.
Behold, yes, it sure did, honey. Behold, I make a new beginning with you and starting from today. Behold, behold, I make all things new. My promise is true, for I am Christ the way. Behold, behold, I make all things new. And starting from today, behold, I make all things new. My promise is true, for I am Christ the way. Behold, I make all things new, beginning with you, and starting from today. My promise is true, for I am Christ the way. Behold, I make all things new, beginning with you and starting from today. Behold, I make all things new. My promise is true, for I am Christ the way.
About the rule is that it's an evolving rule. It's an organic rule. It's pretty much there, it's structured, but it's not static. And it's not something that you feel bound to with an iron chain, not least because as a member, and I've been a member since 1994, every year we have to send in a card that's called the With Us card, or the With It card, if you can include it with it. But the With Us card is a card saying, I am still with the Iona community. So we make a commitment annually, and along with that card, we also send a letter to the leader, accounting for our whole lives, I guess. And that's a huge discipline and a huge privilege, and I guess a privilege and a discipline for the leader to read them all, 250 letters. But it's a very sharp reminder that this is an organic, moving, living rule that we need to reaffirm every time we come around to that April, May time. The second thing to say about it is it's not just, it is the rule of the Iona community, but you will see in it marks of rules of other communities. It's an ancient rule. It has some roots in the Benedictine history of this place. It has resonances of the rule of other religious communities, and new monasticism communities also that are emerging today are adopting rules that are similar to our rule. And it's, and Alan said this very clearly on Sunday, it's the rule that any of us who are committed as Christians on a faith journey will be familiar with. It's about tithing, it's about prayer, it's about reading the Bible, it's about engaging with other people, it's about engaging with our care for the world. So this is the rule of the Iona community, but it's in a sense a universal rule.
Glory and gratitude and praise, now let earth to heaven raise. Glory and gratitude and praise, these we offer to God. Glory and gratitude and praise, now let earth to heaven raise. Glory and gratitude and praise, these we offer to God. Glory and gratitude and praise, now let earth to heaven raise. Glory and gratitude and praise, these we offer to God. Glory and gratitude and praise, now let earth to heaven raise. Glory and gratitude and praise, these we offer to God. Glory and gratitude and praise, now let earth to heaven raise. Glory and gratitude and praise, these we offer to God.
Bye. Jeff from the States, and it's funny you should mention the bath, because my earliest memory of music was when I was probably Graham's age, so I'm 3 or 4, and all that I remember from this is I was in the bathtub conducting a great symphony. And my mother was rather distressed with the amount of water that was being displaced from the bathtub in the process, and she swatted me. And I turned around to her and I said, when I am a famous conductor, I will turn to the audience and say, my mother beat me as a child, but I still survived.
Instantly, this kind of visual or visceral kind of memory. And so, even you know, when you hear certain songs, you may think of soap.
Yes.
When you hear certain songs, you may think of railroad time or children's party or whatnot. So, music is very powerful. For good and for ill. Again, you brought that up. Some of the most vivid memories that you also had were also some powerfully not good memories about music. So there's a lot of power in it, so it's worth talking about how we use it and being very careful about how we use it.
What's been your favorite thing about being on the island?
Mine was the Kaylee.
That was also my.
What about? Have you made any friends here?
Yes.
Who are they?
Well, the name Millie.
Millie
and then
Samuel and Joshua.
And then
Samuel
I made
and Joshua,
some
yeah.
To Samuel and Joshua.
Nice. Good. And do you want to come back to Iona sometime?
Yeah.
Yeah, Graham.
The transition out of here, which you will all experience on Friday and may have experienced in the past, because we all leave Iona. And I left Iona when I was 10 and have never quite forgiven anybody for that wrenching. And so it's a very big transition to make, whether you've been here for 5 years, a week, a month, 6 weeks, whatever. We all have to find ways of assimilating what we've done here back into the world. And that's a huge discipline.
Amen.
you.
When Mennonite visitors come, especially from North America, the musicians at Iona always remark, because their visitors from almost the rest of the world come with mono singing. As you heard in the workshop, right? In the music workshop, they were singing a very famous hymn, but they only knew it one part. But when the Mennonites come, oh, wow, now they can sing four-part harmony, which is what the Iona community prefers. So it's an interesting, they always know. You don't have to say, I'm a Mennonite. By the second verse, say, oh, that must be a Mennonite from North America. It's a wonderful kind of relationship the Mennonites have developed with Iona. And I think it is a gift to the wider church. For example, if you look at the first hymn we sang this morning, you knew the melody, right? It was a familiar melody. It's in our hymnal with other words. I knew what they were. Da 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 da. Does anybody know the title of that? I think it's at least two places in the blue hymnal. And they have given contemporary words to it. And I think that's one of the joys of writing music, is that it gives expression to our faith as it is today. And for that, I'm eternally grateful to the Iona community. And so they're a gift to us. It's interesting, there's not one in this hymnal. Because in 1984, when this hymnal was printed, Mennonites were just discovering Iona music. It was too early. But in the two supplements which have been printed since, there's about 15 of them. And we have sung one, and we will sing another. The tune to One is the Body is a very simple tune, and some might regard it as too simple. But I would invite you to sing this as a response to the video and our own worship. As a gift from thy own community. And perhaps you might want to sing the first verse in unison and then try the part.